First reading comes from Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 to 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that went on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or to be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, "The Lord." And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation." Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. Hear the word of the Lord.
Now the gospel reading is from Matthew, from chapter 8, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, Lord Jesus. Yes.
Well, it's Trinity Sunday. Traditionally the Sunday when the vicar goes on holidays and gets somebody else to preach on the Trinity. Because it's not that easy. Anybody confused about the Trinity? Anybody confused about it? You're allowed to raise your hand. It's all right. I won't. It's a hard topic. How do we understand God? One substance, three persons. It's not that easy, really, is it? The brain doesn't want to get around it. People try all sorts of things. And indeed, some very interesting experiments have caused some very interesting issues over time. I have a friend who came to college missing some eyebrows. And he had decided that he would do this experiment in church, which would show the three in one. Unfortunately, he mixed things in the wrong way, and it all blew up in his face. So this was a bit of an issue. Don't worry, I'm not blowing the church up today. I wouldn't try that one because knowing me, I would do exactly what he did and get it wrong. So, how do we understand the Trinity? Well, I'm going to ask some assistants to assist me with this. So I'm wondering if anybody likes ice cream. Does anybody want to have some ice cream? Well, you better come and give me a hand, huh? Put that down for a moment. Now, this is a container, and in it is? All righty. But the question is, what sort of ice cream? Here they are, my ice cream taste. Well, if you're going to do it, you've got to do it properly. And you can't wave ice cream around and not let people have a little bit, can you? Now, if I take the lid off this particular container, everything in the container is ice cream. All right. However, what flavor? Chocolate. All righty. Can you tell the favourites? What flavour is that one? Strawberry. Okay. All righty, we've got one more. We don't have a third child. I might have to try this one. Definitely vanilla. Okay. We have chocolate, vanilla and strawberry. Three different flavours. All ice cream. All in one container. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all one, all different. but they're the same substance. God is spirit. They are the same substance. But if you happen to want to make them ice cream, I don't think that's quite where they're going to go. But it's a great illustration, I find, because it helps us to realize this is what God is like. We experience God differently as Father, differently as Son, differently as Holy Spirit, and yet they are all God, they are all one, and they are the same. Now, a couple of bowls there if you want to take some with you. You have your spoons. You have one for serving. Go down the back. Take something to colour in when you've finished gorging yourselves. Go, yeah, ladies. Thank you. There's parental supervision, so I don't think they'll get to gorge themselves too much. Trinity is difficult. It's a difficult concept, and that's why trying to find something that works, if you push it too far, it never quite does it. And the reason for that is very simple. If I can explain everything about God to you and there is no mystery in God, then I've made that God up. Because there is no way, if God is truly God, if God is truly God, there is no way I can explain God completely to you. I can have a go. Theologians have been having a go for centuries, and they argue over it all the time because nobody quite, we can't get the whole thing. And that's a great thing. I love that because it means God is beyond my limits. God is beyond what I can do. God is more. And yet, God is here. The wonder of the Trinity is that God is three persons, therefore community, and works together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they work together. And yet, being one substance and one God, everything is so complete that they need nothing else. God needs nothing else. God is completely self-sufficient, doesn't need us. God exists whether we exist or not. God chooses to have us in God's world. God chose to create. God chooses people for himself. God chooses that because God wanted to create us. Now, the difference between being a random creation that someone's made because they've made it and being a creation that someone's made because they want it is something, isn't it? Our God, the lid's over here if you want it, our God is more than we can completely comprehend. But God has revealed God's self in three ways, and as these three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Moses has an encounter with God. Moses has an encounter with God, the Holy and Righteous One. And he wants to see God. He wants to have that experience of actually laying eyes on God properly. He's had an encounter with God in spirit. He has seen the pillar of flame and the pillar of fire. The presence of God has come around him in glory. He's been on the mountain. He's heard the thunder and the rumble. He's seen the burning bush. He wants to see God. I want to see you. I want to see you, Lord. And God says, okay, But, one, go back down the mountain, get clean. Make sure that you have purified yourself. Make sure that you have repented of every sin. Make sure that you come to me without anything in the way. Make sure that you wash and do all those things, and then tell the Israelites not to come anywhere near, because they haven't done that. Bring up a couple of stone tablets, because we've got work to do. So bring that with you, because, of course, the first two stone tablets, what did Moses do? He broke them when the Israelites did the wrong thing. So he needed another two stone tablets. So God says, bring those with you. Come back up. I will hide you in the cleft of a rock to protect you. And so Moses does all that, comes back up, and God hides Moses in the cleft of the rock, and Moses hears the voice of God, is covered by God, and God only removes the covering so Moses gets to see God's back. What a disappointment. But what that is God's protection of Moses. To see the face of the living God, the actual face of the living God in all his glory, is not something that a human being can bear. Throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, we see how God's holiness breaks out when people do not do the right thing. And of course, the Israelite priests, after they had that happen, they used to go into the Holy of Holies with a rope around their waist. Because if the holiness of God struck out against them and they were killed, nobody could come and get them. Because they don't want to go in there. The glory of God is such, and the Holy of God is God, holiness of God is such, that you and I cannot stand in his presence. We can't be there with the full glory of God. So everything we experience of God is still slightly back a bit, because God can't unless we are purified, sanctified, washed clean. So God the Father tells us that this is who he is. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Now, the first part of that's real cool. The second part's a little uncomfortable, isn't it? Really? Those words are for the guilty. Those words are for the ones who are guilty and will not repent. God forgives always if we repent. But if you don't repent and you don't want to say sorry, and you don't want to let go of what you're doing, what you will do and what will happen and what is set up, because we are created in the image of God, is the sin that you have chosen will multiply itself in your generations. And we see this. We see this with parents who make a bad choice. They bring their children up in the same bad choice, and their children bring up their children in the same bad choice, and it goes on. And there's no repentance there. It's for those who do not want to repent. And that has to be, because if God is a God of justice, then he has to be just. If I walk in here and murder somebody, you're going to expect there to be some justice, aren't you? It would not be very nice if I walked in here and murdered somebody and God said, no worries, let her off, it's all good. You'd be upset, wouldn't you? Just a little, just a little lot. Can't get off scot-free. That's not justice. There has to be a price. There has to be a consequence. Justice demands a consequence, yes? Okay. So humanity lives without being fully able to access the grace and mercy of God, because humanity hasn't understood how to deal with this. And so we come to a place we know that we need to repent, to say sorry. So we go before our holy God and we say, I'm sorry. He forgives. Doesn't necessarily mean that we get out of the consequence. Even if I ask God to forgive me for murdering somebody, I'm probably going to still get clapped in jail, aren't I? This is something that I think the world would still do. I can say, I am a forgiven person, and people will say, yes, but you took a life, you go to jail. Okay. However, God can forgive completely. And the reason why he does is because God made a choice from the very beginning to give us that way out. How do we live our lives with the things in our lives that are not good? We need a way out. The way out, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of the living God, who chose to limit himself, to empty himself, as we're told. He emptied himself of all that glory and came as a baby and was born and grew up in the arms of Mary. The holiness of God could not have been fully, the glory of God could not have been fully in the, even in the baby, otherwise Mary would have been in trouble, wouldn't she? He emptied himself of that, but he's still fully God. This is a confusing thing, but it's true. And took on our humanity and lived our life without doing anything wrong so that he could be the only sacrifice which could wash away forever the sin of the world. God did what we could not. Now nobody needs to tie a rope around their waist when they get up here to preach. If there's a consequence, the Lord will give it to me later and tell me off. But I can say sorry, and the blood of Jesus will wash me clean. If I mean it, God knows your heart. He knows if you mean it or not. But repentance washes me clean. Jesus' blood washes me clean. Jesus did that. He's the second person of the Trinity because only God could really satisfy God. And a human being needed to give the ultimate price for every other human being on the planet forever. And the blood of Jesus speaks for me as it speaks for you when I repent. Every single time. And the Holy Spirit who came upon Mary so that this creative thing could happen is given to us as the third person of the Trinity comes to us, God as Spirit. And he comes to us because of our faith in Jesus. By faith. When we believe that God is who God is, that Jesus has died for us, that Jesus is risen, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And when we speak that from our mouth, when we are prepared to acknowledge that, repent, God washes us clean, but more than that, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. He gives his Holy Spirit to us. Because then we are walking with God and God is within, and the most wonderful thing happens. We get to have God all the time. And the Holy of Holies is here. Because we're washed by the blood of Jesus, we can have the glory of God and the holiness of God within. Because he makes it possible. Most amazing miracle in the entire universe. Wonderful. And then the creative power of the Holy Spirit can work through us to do all sorts of things. And he does, and he amazes me constantly. Have you seen the creative power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people? Anybody here ever seen or been healed? When God brings healing, that is a creative movement. I well remember the Florida revivals, and I was watching it on God TV with some Pentecostal friends of mine, and they had access. I didn't have access to that. And they were watching it, and I remember we were watching a series of days, and we were watching it over a couple of days. And the first day, this man came in. He had artificial legs from knee down, and he came up onto the stage, and they prayed over him that he would be healed. And he went away again. And he came the next day, but he was in a wheelchair because his legs had started to grow and his artificial legs didn't fit anymore. And he asked for more prayer, so they prayed for him again and he went away. The third day, he walked up onto the stage and said, "Look, I've got size nines." And I sat there watching. I had to see the next day to see what would happen. And that was happening all over the place when that happened. Creative miracle, because God is our creator. And Holy Spirit within you and I is creative and can do all sorts of things. And when the Holy Spirit decides to do something, he does it properly. I have a friend who has had very bad endometriosis and was told that she would never, ever, ever, ever have children by several doctors over many years with several investigations. They just said it would not happen. And then she came to me, rang me up and said, "Can you come round and pray for me? I've got a headache, can't get rid of it." And I said, "Okay." So I went round to pray over her. And while I'm praying over her, the Holy Spirit comes over me and I do something which I would not normally do because it's very risky. And I proclaim over her that her body is to heal and she is to have a child. You will conceive. Body, heal in the name of Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, that's coming out of your mouth and you are going to regret this, Janice. You know, what happens if, you know, happens in the back of the mind, but I had the confidence, so I said it because I felt Holy Spirit was working. She rang me a few weeks later and said, "I went to the doctor because I was feeling sick." She's a little girl. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? This is the gift we have. You have it too. Not special just for people who wear funny plastic collars. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the gift of God. Jesus tells us. He tells us that it is in God's name, the whole revelation of the name, in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are to baptize people. We are to make disciples of all nations. We are to tell the whole world who God is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are to teach them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. And we are to remember that he is with us to the end of the age. That he's here now. And he will always be with us. And the only place where that doesn't work is if we choose to walk in sin and not repent and tell God we do not want him. It's the only way that doesn't work. But that doesn't mean he doesn't want us. It just means he will give us our choice in the end. This little diagram, I'd come across it, but one of our parishioners sent it to me. And it's a good diagram to help us to just think about it. God is Spirit. God is Son. God is Father. The Father's not the Spirit. Spirit's not the Son. The Son's not the Father. And yet they all are. And if you're not completely confused by now, maybe I haven't done my job. I'm hoping that you're less confused if you had confusion. And if you did, well, pray to the Lord, because the bottom line, we don't have to know how this works. We don't have to know all the theology. You just need to know that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is God, that Jesus has died for you, that Jesus is risen, that God loves you so much that he gave his Son for the whole world. And believe that. That's what we need. And if this never hits bottom, it's okay. Faith is what we walk by, not sight. So if you're struggling, join the club. 2 degrees and a master's. And I still do not know everything, and I will never know everything about God. Because, as I said in the beginning, you cannot know everything about a God who is actually God. Otherwise, it's in my box, it is on. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.